and then decisions make us. We make the choices, and then the choices make us. What I think, what I say, what I eat, where I go, what I read, whom I'm with, what I do, how I rest, all of those things add up to life. We make decisions, and then decisions make us. And the Bible has a word for people who navigate life really well. That word is wise. It's not lucky, it's not wealthy, it's not successful, but it's wise. And wisdom is not necessarily having a high IQ. Wisdom is the ability to make great decisions, the right decisions, for the right reason, at the right time. And the key is for you and I to be able to make decisions in the ordinary things of life, because they add up. Yeah, we need to make the big decisions and get those right, but it's the ordinary decisions, the everyday issues of life, of where you and I need to be able to be wise and to make those good decisions. Now, Proverbs has a lot to say about wisdom, and I trust that you are reading it, because wisdom is living life well. Wisdom is living life to the fullest. And in Proverbs chapter 8, wisdom calls out once again, and this is from the Message, and I want us to look at this. This is Proverbs chapter 8 from the Message. Let's read it together here. It says, "Do you hear Lady Wisdom calling? Can you hear Madam Insight raising her voice? She has taken her stand at First and Main at the busiest intersection, right in the city square where the traffic is the thickest. She shouts out, 'You, I'm talking to all of you, everyone out here in the streets, listen, you idiots.'" Don't you love the Bible, huh? Paraphrase the Message. "Learn good sense, you blockheads. Shape up. Don't miss a word of this. I'm telling you how to live at your best. I am Lady Wisdom. I live right next door to sanity. Knowledge and discretion live just down the street." Check this out. "The fear of God means hating evil, whose ways I hate with a passion." And the Bible gives you and I an idea that wisdom is a lady. Now, why does the Bible refer to wisdom being a lady? Because ladies tend to be what? Wise, okay? Fellas, if you didn't get that, okay, I'm glad you're here, because we're in this series called Wisdom, and you were just dumb, okay? You just had an opportunity to score, okay, with her and said, "You know what, I know why the Bible refers to wisdom as being a lady, because wisdom is a tendency in all of the women's lives," right? Well, we want to look at that, and we want to understand this morning that wisdom is being called out to you and me. And in Proverbs chapter 9, here's what it says. Listen at this. It says, "Wisdom has sent out her servants, and she calls them from the highest point in the city." That means a very prominent area, okay? It's not hidden away. It's right out in the main area where the thickest traffic runs. "Let all who are simple come to my house," she says. "Leave your simple ways and you will live. And you will walk in the way of insight." And so here you have wisdom, and it's calling out to you and me. And yet what you and I need to understand is wisdom, the Lady of Wisdom, is not the only one begging for your attention. There's another lady out there. It's called the Lady of Folly. And she wants your attention. And she wants you to stop by her place as well. Check out what it says here in Proverbs chapter 9. It says, "Folly is an unruly woman. She is simple and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house at the highest point in the city. Again, a very prominent area. Calling out to those who pass by, let all who are simple come to my house. Now, here's what we're learning. God wants all of us to have wisdom. All of us. And it's there, available for each and every one of us. God even says, if you lack wisdom, ask, because I will give it to you without finding fault. The question is, why don't we do that? If God wants wisdom for all of us, he makes it readily available to all of us, why don't we embrace it? Why don't we pursue it? Well, we just learned that there's another woman out there, the woman of folly. And she's bidding for your attention. She's bidding for your heart. And the lady of folly says the same thing that the lady of wisdom does. And that is, let all who are simple come to my house. Come to my house. And so the fact of the matter is, some of us choose folly over wisdom. Some of us are seduced by the lady of folly instead of running to the lady of wisdom. Now, we've all seen this happen, haven't we? You know, we see two kids that grow up in the same family, maybe two daughters, maybe two sons, I don't know. Or we see it even at church. People attend the same church and they go through life. And it kind of works like this. One of them runs to the lady of wisdom. And they make wise choices about their friends and who they're going to run with. They make wise choices and they learn to develop good work habits. They learn how to speak the truth in love. They learn how to handle their finances. They learn the importance of taking care of themselves. And it leads them to an incredible life. And yet we observe the other one. And they go down a different path. They hang out with the wrong people. They enter into a very difficult marriage and allow it to deteriorate. They let their finances get out of control. They don't care for themselves very well. They end up losing their integrity. And it leads them down a path of destruction. We've all seen that, right? Because here's what we've said. How can two children be raised in the same family and go so different ways? Let me tell you how. Because one listened to the lady of wisdom and one listened to the lady of folly. And they're both in a prominent place to get our attention. And here's what blows me away. I watch people here at New Point go down the wrong path and enter into destruction. Now, none of you, okay, that's at the other campuses, okay? But I watch this, and it blows me away. Really smart people making dumb decisions on how they handle their relationships, on how they handle their anger, on how they handle their finances, on how they relate to their kids, on neglecting their family, or just drifting into destruction. And it blows me away. And what I want to say this morning is this. Lady Wisdom is calling out to you. Calling out to you. And saying, hey, come to my house and I will teach you how to live life really, really well. Really, really well. But what you and I have to understand is there's another lady out there. And she's seductive because there's something in you and there's something in me that likes to play around with folly, right? And she seduces us to come to her house and to go her path. And it says that it leads to destruction. And so what's the key? Because you've got two women here, the lady of wisdom, lady of folly. Both of them are attractive in their own way. But they lead us to different roads. They lead us to different paths. And so how do we do that? Well, Solomon tells us in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. He says, here's how you handle this. He says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. He says, you want to be able to handle this well? You want to be able to make the wise decision, the wise choice? You have to guard your heart. You have to guard your heart. And what you need to realize and what I need to realize is this. He doesn't say God will guard your heart. He doesn't say your pastor will guard your heart. He says you have to guard your heart. It's a personal responsibility of every single one of us. You're in charge of guarding your heart, and it's a full-time job because Lady Folly is always there doing this. Come to me, and I'll show you. Come to me, and I will tell you. And so it says here, above all else, guard your heart. Now, why do we need to do that? Well, the heart is the core of who you are. It's the core of who you are. And Jeremiah tells us in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, that the heart is deceitful. Who can understand it? And when he says that the heart is deceitful, who can understand it? He's not saying that your heart is dishonest. I mean, when somebody is dishonest, we can usually discern that, right? Well, they're just lying. They're not telling the truth. But it's a whole different level when somebody becomes deceitful, right? Because now they're trying to what? Trick you. They're trying to pull the wool over your eyes. They're not just being dishonest in what they're saying and what they're doing. They're literally trying to pull one off on you. And Jeremiah says that's the condition of our hearts. Our hearts is not just full of dishonesty, it's deceitful. It will trick you. Have you ever said this? Well, I don't know why I did that. It was the stupidest thing I could have ever done. Your heart deceived you. Your heart led you down a path. And what happens is you followed your emotions. You followed your feelings. And your heart deceived you. You see, the Bible tells us in Romans that all of us were born into sin, that all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. And that means this, that means that our heart is deceived. Our heart has been filled. It's been corrupted, contaminated, and it's full of deception. And so Solomon tells us that, you know what? Your heart is deceitful. You will do things that you don't even know why you're doing them if you don't guard your heart. And so as we see here, that heart has completely changed. And all of us are born, every single one of us. That's why your son and daughter can look at you when they're 3 years old and you ask them, have you been eating cookies? And it's all over their mouth and they say, nope. Why? Because the fact of the matter is their heart is deceitful. They're being deceived, and they want to deceive you. And you have that heart condition, and I have that heart condition. And we all have that heart condition of where our heart is deceitful, and no one can understand it. That's why we do things we don't understand. I don't know why I did that. I don't know why I said that. I don't know why I acted on that. It's because your heart is deceitful. And what happens is your heart, okay, here's what we're learning. Everything flows out of your heart. So what's in your heart affects what? Your family, your friends, your finances, and your faith. And so if your heart is deceitful, guess what? You deceive your family. You deceive your friends. You're deceived in your finances, and you even are deceived in faith. Because what happens is everything flows from the what? The heart. And that's why Solomon says here, above all else, there's nothing more important. Your career is not as important. Nothing is more important than you guarding your heart. You know why? Because your heart affects everything in your life. You know why you speak the way that you speak? It's because it's in your heart. You know why you treat your wife the way that you treat your wife? Because it's in your heart. Do you know why you respond to your husband the way in which you do? Because it's in your heart. It all goes back to your heart. And God's word says that it's something that we don't understand. Matter of fact, it even uses this. It's beyond cure, which means that you and I cannot cure it on our own. And so Solomon says this. There's a lady out there, lady of wisdom. She wants to lead you in living a life that is really well lived and to your very best. But there's another lady, and she's in a prominent place as well. And she is the lady of folly, and she's calling out to you, and she wants to lead you down the path of destruction. And the question is, which road are you going to take? All depends on your heart. That's why Solomon, the wisest man ever, said, above everything, make sure that you guard your heart. You guard your heart, for out of it, everything will happen. For out of it is all of the issues of life. For out of it, you will end up doing everything. And so how do you guard your heart? Well, I want us to look at a passage for the remaining time that we have, and it's found in Psalms 119. And here's what I can say with full confidence. I'm going to give you 6 or 7 principles this morning, and I promise you this, money-back guarantee. If you will embrace these principles, you will guard your heart. And you will deal, and I will deal with the deceitfulness that wants to live there. So how do we do it? Well, let me give you the first thing, all right? You got to get clean. You got to get clean. Look what it says here. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Now, the word way here, how can a young man cleanse his way? The word way here is tendency. How can you cleanse your way, the tendency that you have? Because our heart is what? Desperately wicked, and it affects us, and our heart leads us towards certain tendencies, right? Would you agree with me? We all have certain tendencies in our life. And the psalmist is saying, how can I cleanse myself from this way? Another word for way is addiction. The psalmist is saying, how can I cleanse my way from this addiction that's controlling me? And he says here, by heeding to your word. Now, what does God's word say? Well, God's word says this in 1 John 1:9, okay? It says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Wow. Here's the good news. No matter what you have done, no matter what I have done, no matter how my deceitful heart has affected my family, my friends, my finances, and my faith, what God's word says is I can be forgiven of that. And even more than being forgiven of that, I can be cleansed of that. You see, it's one thing to be forgiven, it's another thing to be cleansed. Because one is being forgiven of an act, the other one is being made pure. And what does our heart need to be? Our heart needs to be made pure. I don't need to just be forgiven of my sin. I need to be cleansed of it so that it doesn't control me anymore. And so this word here, confess, means that I will agree with God on what He says about my sin or sins. That means I'm not just going to admit, yeah, God, I did it wrong. No, I'm going to come back and I'm going to say, God, you know what? I agree with you. This is evil. This is wrong. This is not pleasing to you. So it's more than just admitting. It's agreeing with God with what He says about you and me and what we have done. Y'all okay on that one? And what He says here is this. If we will do this, He will make us pure. And here's what happens. This is incredible. When we begin to confess our sins before God and we're sincere, no matter what you have done, no matter what I have done, what we begin to experience is His Word, okay, begins to cleanse us. And it begins to purify us. And it begins to take out the deceitfulness in your heart and in my heart. Which ends up affecting what? My family, my friends, my finances, and my faith. And now what happens is I begin to have a what? A pure heart, because He cleanses my way. And that allows me to relate to my friends and my family and in my finances and faith in a pure way. And so the first step that you and I have to take in guarding our heart, listen, we got to get clean. We got to come clean. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to say, yes, I am a liar? It's not that I fib. It's not that I stretch the truth. I lie. Hello? You see, what happens is that's when you and I are on the path of being cleansed. That's when you and I are on the path of having our heart purified. Because Bible says if you confess, if you agree with God with what He says about you, He will not only forgive you, He will make you pure. So how does a young person, a young man, a young woman cleanse his way? That addiction, that tendency. You heed God's word, and here's what God's word says. If you confess your sins, not to me, not to a priest, not to a rabbi necessarily, but to God, and say, God, you know what? I'm going to agree with you with what you say about me. What He says is He will cleanse you. He will make you pure, as we're seeing happen right here. And it will begin to affect your friendships, your family, and your finances, and your faith. The second thing that the psalmist tells us in guarding our heart is once we get clean, we have to determine to stay clean. We have to determine to stay clean. Look what it says here. It says, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. What's he say here? I seek you with what? All my heart. We sang that this morning. Let me ask you a question, okay? Was there ever a time in your life where you sought God with all your heart? Not to seek to be relieved from your choices that you've made. Oh, man, I made some bad choices. I just, God help me somehow get out of this mess. That's not seeking God with all of your heart. Has there been a time that you have sought God with all of your heart? That's why what happens is we go back to that tendency. That's why we go back to that addiction. Y'all okay? You know, in Christianity, a little dab will not do you. A little dab will keep you frustrated. You have to seek God with all of your heart. Look what it says in Jeremiah 29, 13. You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Have you ever done that? Daniel 1, 9 says that he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Have you ever said that to God? God, you know what? I purpose in my heart that I want to live for you. You see, most of us want to be forgiven. We don't want to be pure. So we're never really cleansed of our ways. We're on the wagon, we're off the wagon, we're on the wagon, we're off the wagon, we're on the wagon, we're off the wagon. You know why? Because you seek forgiveness and not purity. Hello? That program doesn't work. And so you got to get clean, and then you have to determine. You have to determine that you're going to stay clean. Somebody has said it like this. God does business with those who mean business. Have you ever meant business with God? See, you'll never fully experience the wisdom of God until you go in with all of your heart. You get clean, and then you determine to stay clean. Write this verse down. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. Here's what it says. The eyes of the Lord go around looking all throughout the earth for people whose hearts are fully committed to him so that he might make them strong. Listen to me. You want the power and the strength to break that addiction that you've never been able to break? Pornography, alcohol, drugs, lying. Do you really want to break that addiction? Then you need to seek God with all of your heart. Because apart from seeking God, your willpower won't do it. It's God power. And the only way that you get God power in your life is if you seek him with all of your heart. The Bible says that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And so how do we guard our heart? We got to get clean. And then we have to determine to stay clean. And then third, the psalmist would tell us, then we need to internalize God's word. We need to internalize God's word into our heart. Look what it says here. It says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So you get clean, and then you determine to stay clean, but then you need to have support. You need infrastructure in your spirit, in your being. And so you internalize the word of God. He says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So what does that mean? That means that I begin to memorize scripture. Every series that we do here at New Point, you know what we do? We have about 10 to 12 memory verses that we have at the information booth. For every series, we've got it for this series. And what we encourage you to do is to memorize those. You get it in your heart, because God's word is what? Truth. What is my heart? My heart is naturally what? Deceitful. But you shall know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. And so you have to internalize God's word. You see, scripture is the mind of God. When you memorize this, you're thinking like who? God. Who is God? God is the source of all wisdom. And so memorizing helps you to remember what you need to remember. But it also helps you to forget what you should forget, because you can't have two thoughts at one time. God has designed you and I only to have one thought at one time. And this is why it's so huge, mom and dad, that we teach our kids how to memorize scripture. Matter of fact, this is one of the things that I'm proud of here at New Point. All throughout our children's ministry, guess what we're doing? We're teaching kids the word of God. We send home God times of where mom and dad can sit down with their kids. And we did this with all four of our kids. And it's an opportunity for you to teach your kids God's word. Why? Because their heart is deceptive. And when they go to college, guess what? Polly is going to be right there. And guess what she's going to be doing to them? Come to me. Come to me. And the only way that you can help your kid in this is by teaching them the importance of God's word. In Philippians 4, 8, and 9, look what it says here. It says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of what? The God of peace will be with you. Let me ask you a question this morning. How much peace do you have in your heart and life? It's a direct portion to how much word of God you have in your heart. The reason why we're full of anxiousness and anxiety is because we don't have enough of God's word in our heart. So we're deceived, and we get anxious. And we have anxiety, and we worry, and we fret. You know why? Because we're not experiencing the peace of God. And he says, if you will think on these things, guess what will happen? The God of peace will be there. So is it true? Think on it. Is it honorable? Honest? Think on it. Is it just? That which is straight? Think on it. Is it pure? Then think on it. Is it lovely? Will this help my relationship? Then think on it. Is it commendable? Will it build me up and others around me? Then think on it. And so how do you guard your heart? You got to get clean. You got to determine to stay clean. And then you have to internalize God's word. Let me give you the fourth one. Then we need to ask God to teach us or to teach me. Look what he says here in verse 12. Praise to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees or teach me your ways. What he is doing is, he is saying, God, I want you now to teach me what I have memorized. I want you now to teach me what I know, because memorization is not enough. Now what you're doing and what the psalmist is asking is, God, now what I know, I need you to make real in my life. I need you to make it real in my life. I don't want to just memorize your word. I want it to become reality in my heart and in my life. The psalmist says it like this in Psalms 86, 11. Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I may what? Fear you. How do we have an undivided heart so that we will fear God? And what is fear? It's the beginning of wisdom. It's believing that God is who he says he is and that he will do what he has promised to do. I ask God to teach me. God, teach me the difference between right and wrong. Teach me the difference between wisdom and folly. And then the fifth one we learn from the psalmist is this. You need to verbalize God's truth. Look what he says here in verse 13. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. So I need to get clean. I need to determine to stay clean. I need to ask God to teach me. And I need to internalize God's word. And then I need to verbalize it. I need to speak it. It goes from the heart to the mouth, from the mouth to the heart. And that's why I love teaching. That's why I would encourage you. You see, every time I teach, guess what I'm doing? I'm renewing my mind. Every time I teach, guess what I'm doing? I'm speaking to my heart. That's why I would encourage you to get involved in a small group and lead a small group. You say, well, I don't know very much about the Bible. It'll force you to learn more about the Bible. I would encourage you to get involved in student ministry or children's ministry and begin to teach the Word of God, begin to speak the Word of God. Because when you verbalize it, what happens is it goes deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into your heart, if you will, into your being, and you verbalize God's Word. I do this all the time. I'm driving down the road, and I believe I have an attack, okay? Mason, you're so pitiful, it's unbelievable. This is going to go wrong, and that's going to go wrong, and you have these thoughts, and you have these ideas, and you've made up these plans, and guess what? They're all going to fail. And what I do is I begin to verbalize God's word, and you know what I say? I am significant in Christ. I am accepted in Christ. I am loved by God. I am secure in Christ. And I go through. I have a whole list of them. I read it this morning. I have a whole list of truths that I read through. You know why? Because the truth will set you free. I announced this morning that I want to live for God this morning. I denounced every selfish goal. I said, God, I don't want to live for selfish goals. I want to live for you. And so you verbalize God's word. You come back and you say it over and over and over again. And then number six is you make an evaluation. So you get clean. You determine to stay clean. You internalize God's word. You ask God to teach you. You verbalize God's truth. And you make an evaluation. Look what the psalmist says here. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. And here's what he means by that. He's making a choice. He's saying, God, I'm going to choose to rejoice in your riches. I've made an evaluation. Do I want to listen to Lady Folly or do I want to listen to Lady Wisdom? Moses did this. The Bible tells us about Moses that he chose suffering than to choose a season of sin. Because what he said was this, a season of sin is pleasurable for only a time, but the riches of God are forever and ever and ever. And so what he is saying here is, I've made an evaluation. I've got the Word of God in me. I've determined to stay clean. Why would I want to go back and get this all dirty again and suffer the consequences of destruction? And this is one of the great things that you and I can teach our kids, to make the evaluation. Is it really going to be worth saying yes to Lady Folly and all the consequences? Hey, listen, I'm tempted sexually. And when I'm tempted sexually, y'all right on that, by the way? I am a male. And I make an evaluation. I do. That's why I've been pure for 24 years with my wife. You know what? I make an evaluation. Hey, Mason, are you really willing to lose the woman who loves you the most and has given you 4 children? And are you willing to mess up your family and have to look at Caleb in the eye and Sarah in the eye and Jonathan in the eye and Benjamin in the eye and tell them that you cheated on their mother? Hello? You know what I say? A cold chill goes up and down my spine. And you know what I say? No, 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 no. And I make an evaluation. And I say, God, you know what? You have been so good to me. Look at the riches that I have because of your goodness. I'm going to choose your riches. I'm going to choose the lady of wisdom, not the lady of folly. And I make an evaluation. How many of us have made decisions and we said this? Oh, I should have thought that more through. I should have. What you're saying is, I should have made an evaluation. Because we make choices, and then choices make us. And he says here, make an evaluation. Let me give you the last one, and then I'm done. And that is this. You need to meditate on God's word. You need to meditate on God's word. So how do you guard your heart? You get clean. You determine to stay clean. You internalize God's word. You ask God to teach you. You verbalize God's truth. You make an evaluation, and then you meditate on God's word. Look what it says here. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I delight in your decrees, and I will not neglect your word. What he is saying is, you know what? I'm going to think over and over and over and over and over again about your principles, about your truth, about your word. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What is he saying? As a man thinketh in his heart, it will affect his friends and his family and his finances and his faith. And the only way that you and I can guard our heart is to make it the main priority. And we have to make it the main priority, because the reason why you do what you do is because of your heart. It's because of your heart. So get clean, determine to stay clean, internalize God's word, ask God to teach you, verbalize God's word, make an evaluation, and then meditate upon his truth. And you know what will happen? You will set up a fortress in your heart that will guard you against Lady Folly. And you will make wise choices. Apart from that, you're doomed. Your heart will deceive you every single time. My heart will deceive me every single time. And it will lead me down to the path of destruction. Let's pray. God, we thank you this morning that you have given us a way to guard the most precious treasure that we have, and that's our heart. Not our physical heart, but the core of who we are. That which makes us up. Our conscience, our thoughts, our emotions, our will. And God, you have told us through your word that above everything else in life, that we need to guard our heart. So I pray for myself, and I pray for my friends here today, that we would do that by getting clean. That we would agree with what you say about where we're at, and that we would determine to stay clean, and that we would begin to internalize your word, the Bible, in our heart, and that we would ask you to teach us, and then we would begin to verbalize your truth and declare what you say about us. And that we would make evaluations on every decision in light of your word, and that we would continue to meditate upon it. And in doing so, we'll come to the end of life and say, you know what? I've lived life pretty well. I've lived life to the fullest. We've said no to Lady Folly, and we said yes to Lady Wisdom. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, will you stand with me? Let me remind you of two things. This Wednesday at 6:30, spiritual habits. And I want to encourage you to come. Don't try